Homes are not alike, and for some educators, that's part of the problem with homework. Children with better access to computers, books, or parents with more time to supervise might have an advantage. In the third part of Morning Edition series, NPR's Debbie Elliott explains how one Alabama school is helping low-income students keep up by taking the home out of homework.
Classes just let out at Central Park Elementary School in Birmingham, and as some kids rush off for the buses that will take them home, others tote their backpacks into the cafeteria.
Get your milk.
Here at the lunch tables, students grab a snack of graham crackers and milk, then get started on their homework at school.
We're doing high-speed traveling, and we're doing the red check questions on page E44, E45.
Keelan King and three other fourth grade boys are hunched over their science books, working together to find the right answers.
Speed of sound.
A high school tutor is on hand to help them when they can't figure it out for themselves. Antoine Johnson says it's better for him to finish his homework here rather than take it home.
Because I get more help. And my grandma, grandmother, somebody probably might be busy.
The after-school program is designed to help students like Antoine, who might otherwise have a hard time completing their assignments for a variety of reasons. 80% of the students at Central Park Elementary qualify for a free or reduced-price lunch. And teachers here understand there are a lot of pressures on low-income families. Principal Betty Griggs.
They work two jobs. They are single parents. So when they come home, they kind of exhausted, you know.
Homework is not the great equalizer in the sense that the same homework assignment going home to families with different resources will come back and have the same impact. So we have to recognize that that's the case.
Harris Cooper is a professor at the University of Missouri and author of the book The Battle Over Homework, Common Ground for Administrators, Teachers, and Parents.
Obviously, kids who have their own room and their own desk and their own computer, they can close the door and have a quiet, well-lit place to do their homework, are going to have an advantage over a child who shares a bedroom, may have to do their homework on a kitchen table, is within earshot of a television set that might be on, and things like that.
But Cooper and other experts say that's not a reason for schools to abandon homework altogether, nor should they cut back on assignments, lowering expectations of what their students can do. That can end up putting lower-income children even farther behind. At Birmingham Central Park Elementary, there is plenty of homework, and students are expected to get it done.
We do not use their limitation for an excuse.
Again, Principal Betty Griggs.
So if we allow them to give excuses now, I mean, how are they going to develop in the future? They won't be lifelong learners. See, we want them to be independent, where they will learn regardless of their situation.
The solution, Griggs says, is making sure the children have whatever they need to complete their assignments. Most times it means finding a way to help students while they're still on campus. Teacher Antonia Gilbert ran into a problem with a recent book report assignment for her third graders.
So what I did, when I kept hearing, well, my mom couldn't take me to the library, she had to go to school, she had to work, and my dad's car broke down, it is over and over. And I said, okay, so I lined them up. We all walked down to the library at school. We all found a book and we walked back, so they were able to overcome the obstacle. It's just a matter of communicating.
Gilbert says materials can also be an issue.
So what we do is try to find creative ways. Instead of using a poster, use notebook paper. Take some construction paper from the classroom and do your project.
Teachers here emphasize that keeping up with homework not only reinforces the lessons of the day, but also teaches responsibility. To help, the school has used federal funds to buy a daily journal for each student. It's much like the day planners many grown-ups use to keep up with busy schedules. Third grader Brittany Fitz uses her planner to track her assignments.
We write our homework in it, and we have our word of the day. This word of the day is character. Having good manners and traits. We get our homework signed by our teacher, and then we have it signed by our parents to let our teacher know that they seen our homework.
In the back of the journal, there are all kinds of study aids.
Like, this is our multiplication chart. Like, if we need to figure out 6 times 9, we go to 6, and then we go all the way to 9, and then 54.
It has maps, measurement conversion charts, and rulers. Teacher Gilda Clayton says if the students can't find what they need, the journals also provide web resources and phone numbers for local homework hotlines.
If they cannot get the assistance at home, they have numbers in here that they can call. It's help list, you know, help wanted list.
Central Park teachers report an improvement in homework participation since they started using the daily journals 3 years ago. But nothing works quite like having someone right there to answer your questions. At the after-school program, even the youngest of students get help. And despite the chaotic environment, kids are learning.
Make me 6 grades. Give me 6 grades.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Kindergartner Brittany Grady is working on her math problems with Ms. Williams. Experts agree that providing students at school with all the tools they need to complete their homework is one way to level the playing field between the have and the have-nots. Debbie Elliott, NPR News, Birmingham, Alabama.
Tomorrow, homework advice for stressed-out parents. Helpful resources for parents, such as the Education Department's Helping Your Child series, are at npr.org.